Good evening. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Coppett Caverly.
Welcome to the Divided Kingdom evening news program. We can be heard on WWCR Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, you can hear us at that time on 4.840 megahertz shortwave.
And we aren't going to tell any more because, as I say later, we just don't have the time tonight to give detailed schedules.
That's fine. And I believe I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. And we do want you to visit our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com. Yes, once more, Lou, our warnings are so essential, so dire, that we simply just can't take the time to give those detailed listening schedules. And, of course, we never have commercials that you listeners have to put up with. We will need help to stay on the air in May. Late May, it will be helpful if any of you can help us for both WWCR and Global Star Communications. Our necessary production with Todd and Don Waite is so vital. We can accept cash. We can accept money orders. Checks can only be made out to WWCR, not to us personally. And a place to send anything that you can do to help us is to Lou, capital L-O-U, Caverly, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, that's Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, and that's B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609.
For 3 weeks running, we presented facts of the war on us, culminating perhaps in eminent physician-surgeon Dr. Lee Merritt's anguished question after her thorough analysis of COVID vaccines. Are they trying to kill us? Tonight, the program is titled The Iron Hand, Tyranny, and Vaccine Harm. Nothing is new under the sun, says the Bible. Murderous Nazi Germany in the 1930s and 40s reawakens in a spike protein latent down in the DNA of America, latent all these years, now coming to life again in homicidal eugenics and plandemic culling of the masses, unless all of us, alive, now fight for our very lives. Germany, July 1939. During the Nazi years, a program was secretly begun to euthanize children with severe physical or mental disabilities. It began when a father of a child appealed to Adolf Hitler to allow a so-called mercy killing of his son. It soon grew to be a well-organized program in which midwives and doctors were required to make reports at the time of a child's birth and up to the age of 3.
Lou, I just have to interrupt.
Yes.
I'm so shocked. I did not study your background report there, of course, as you know, before you were presenting it. But I'm so stunned to see that it was a parent who set this into motion. You know, just as these parents are setting things into motion in which children, not even 18 years old, are making these terrible decisions to be mutilated, to become transgender, whatever that means. And we had a listener write to us that a grandmother was concerned because her young granddaughter was trying to do this. And so nothing is new under the sun. But what else happened after this parent, pick up and repeat that story, after the parent requested the mercy killing as if his son was a dog or a horse?
Yes, that's exactly right. And no doubt that the leaders in Germany had been thinking about this for some time. I don't believe that it was a brand new idea. But this brought it to a head. Hitler gave permission and the child was euthanized. And according to Robert J. Lifton in his book, The Nazi Doctors, parents were often tricked, or if necessary, coerced, into placing a disabled child into the hands of the authorities.
And that, too, is similar now because I'm sure the parents are being tricked into letting their little children go in to these COVID-19 vaccine trials.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right there. And moving on, here's a quote from that very book called The Nazi Doctors. The killing was generally done by means of luminal tablets, that's phenobarbital, dissolved in a liquid given to the child to drink. This sedative was given repeatedly over 2 or 3 days until the child lapsed into continuous sleep.
My word. You remember my story about my mother had been given phenobarbital, and she didn't realize as she was nursing me, and she told me later, I went out. And she prayed to God that if he would let me live, she would give my life to him. Boy, that's a stunner to me.
Yes, and I had forgotten that was the name of the drug you
were giving. Yes, I had too, till I heard you say that.
Yes, I believe Luminal is probably the brand name, phenobarbital, the generic name.
So go ahead.
And sometimes if the child wasn't able to take a liquid, it was injected. If the Luminal did not kill the child quickly enough, a fatal morphine dose was given. The cause of death was listed as a more or less ordinary disease, such as pneumonia. It's estimated that 5,000 children were killed, but the total is probably much higher. And now we go to April 14th, 2021. The headline reads, Los Angeles police are forced vaccinating special needs children in heinous Operation Homebound program that resembles Nazi euthanasia of the retired. And one other thing before I move up to the modern time, Holocaust survivor Anita Dittman told Elizabeth Cuppett-Cavley and myself in a Divided Kingdom interview that German mothers, and including non-Jewish mothers, did not let their Down syndrome children play outside on the streets out of the fear they'd be picked up by the T4 and its predecessor, the Child Euthanasia Programs. And the children would be driven to camps, never to return.
Yes, Anita said that after a while they might get a note that they had died of an illness that happened to them during the camp, maybe pneumonia.
Yes, and usually the children were cremated, and they would send the ashes to the parents with a kind note saying, we're so sorry, that sort of thing. But now, moving it up to the present day, California has launched a new Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 vaccination program. And this, by the way, was by Ethan Huff from Natural News. The program is called Operation Homebound and involves sending police officers to people's homes to force vaccinate their special needs children. Shocking video footage, and it can be seen by going to this website, shows masked Los Angeles Police Department, LAPD officers jabbing needles into the arms of scared children with disabilities who clearly do not consent to being medically raped by the police state in the name of public health. In one of the clips, a terrified special needs woman is seen struggling to escape her captors.
This is horrific.
It certainly is. Yes, to escape her captors as they pull out a syringe and chase her arm for injection. Two officers are then seen restraining the woman while a third stabs it into her body without her permission. Quote, I'll be gentle, okay? I'll be gentle, the officer holding the vaccine says. No, the poor woman yells as she attempts to resist the chemical violence being inflicted upon her. After finishing up, forever modifying the woman's DNA with the experimental messenger RNA syringe, the officers start clapping while the woman wails in horror at what happened to her. In another clip, a special needs girl is seen in her driveway trying to escape officers who similarly inject her against her will with a gene-modifying cocktail. All the while, her family stands around watching. An Alzheimer's patient is in yet another clip, is seen being given an injection without even knowing what was going on. The female officer who administered the shot to the dementia patient states, there you go, piece of cake. It's okay, hon. We just gave you a vaccination, that's all, unquote. According to the L.A. County Sheriff's Office, Operation Housebound, or Homebound, is a program, and this is in quotes, designed to vaccinate the most underrepresented, homebound, and underserved disabled residents in our communities, including those experiencing homelessness, unquote. Forcibly vaccinating the sick and vulnerable without their consent is no different than what violent dictators in the past did to prisoners who are kept in concentration camps. While the prisoners of yesteryear were held behind barbed wire, today's prisoners are kept inside their homes, distanced from others, and masked for their own quote-unquote protection. And while the prisoners of old were experimented on in confined sanitariums, today's prisoners are visited in person by a masked law enforcement Gestapo. The only thing that has changed in all these years is the genocide now taking place is slightly more veiled than that of the early 20th century. As it is being herded into gas chamber showers, today's victims are herded into testing and vaccine clinics for their disease cure. And a person noted, quote, "The war is on, my friends, and if we do not start fighting back, this will shortly become another dying socialist experiment by stupid politicians who are beyond being touched by education," unquote. And the person who said that notes that this is why our founders put in the Second Amendment. And he or she went on to say, "Only when enough of these bastards pay a price will the politicians get the message that they cannot pull this crap on patriotic Americans," unquote. More of the latest news about the American police state is blatantly violating, or how the American police state is blatantly violating the Nuremberg Code with forced Wuhan coronavirus vaccination of the disabled can be found at the website chemicalviolence.com. Now, we go back to Germany, spring 1943. Dr. Joseph Mengele arrived at Auschwitz. He was 32 years old, exuded a disarming charm, and was almost always elegantly turned out in a fresh uniform. He loved music and studied Dante. He would decide whether to send people to a work detail or to the gas chambers as he whistled an aria from a Wagner opera. Mengele had volunteered for Auschwitz for the opportunity to pursue research. He had worked at the Nazi-sponsored Institute for Heredity and Eugenics in Frankfurt before the war. At Auschwitz, he selected about 1,500 sets of identical twins, and also fraternal twins, to be objects of his studies. Some of his experiments on the twins included taking blood, injecting chemicals, exposing them to radiation, and performing experimental surgery. He frequently ordered one or both twins killed so he could study them at autopsy.
Germany in the 1940s with Dr. Joseph Mengele, doing those gruesome medical experiments, those horrific surgeries on children, and his hellish specialty operating on twins, as Lou told you. And we've always heard that he died there, but there are other books, there are other sources that say he came to America and that he was a part of the MK Ultra horrible CIA experiments, that he was, I think maybe his name was Dr. Green, I'm not certain. But history is always a revisionist effort, I think, because the evil ones want to cover up their tracks. And, of course, the book Gray Wolf talks about Hitler himself escaping to South America. So things are not as we think they are. The Nazi mentality never died. The eugenics that was part of Margaret Sanger and all of those things from Cold Spring Harbor in the 1920s that went to instruct Hitler, it has come back to us. Now, 2021, we're in the cauldron of hell. Even beyond Mengele's efforts, the tears of God must be falling on this country. This unbelievable headline, "How Can This Be America?" World Net Daily News Services, April 30th, 2021, 2:53 p.m. Children as young as 6 months taking part in COVID vaccine trials. Lou, can you really take that in?
It's unbelievable.
Manufacturers moving into next phase of testing. Vaccine makers Pfizer and Moderna have moved on to the next phase of their so-called fight against coronavirus by using children as young as 6 months old to test if their COVID vaccines will be safe and effective for kids. Dr. Givon Maldonado, professor of pediatrics, epidemiology, and population health at Stanford University, told ABC News that, quote, "Children under 18 make up 85 million people in the U.S., about 20% of the population." And she added, quote, "Getting them vaccinated is a major contribution to reducing transmission of virus," end of quote. ABC News reports, today, kids as young as 6 months old are taking part in trials for both companies' vaccines with their parents' consent. We have to equate those parents, Lou, to that father who got in touch with the Führer and wanted the mercy killing for his child.
Oh, yes. It's
these
not so very different.
Parents are facing something terrible at the ends of their lives if they don't repent before Almighty God. Back to the article, Dr. Zenaida Good, a research fellow at the Stanford Cancer Center, enrolled both her sons in Stanford Hospital's Pfizer trial. I'd like to just repeat that sentence. Dr. Zenaida Good, a research fellow at the Stanford Cancer Center, enrolled both her sons in Stanford Hospital's Pfizer trial.
And now we go to Maryland in the year 2001. I selected this from the book Vaccine Epidemic. In 2001, the Maryland Court of Appeals affirmed in a landmark decision the right of children to be protected from any risks of harm caused by a non-therapeutic research. The case, Grimes v. Kennedy Krieger Institute, or KKI for short, involved the exposure of Baltimorean toddlers to a contaminated environment in a government-sponsored lead abatement experiment conducted between 1993 and 1995. It came to light when two families sued KKI, claiming that their children had suffered brain damage from exposure to lead poison. The researchers, who knew that lead paint posed a risk of mental retardation in children, recruited poor families with young children to live in a lead-infested environment. Parents who consented to the research without being fully informed about the risks of exposure were not informed that the increased levels of lead posed an increasing risk of harm.
Lou, we must interject here.
Yes.
That this has been going on for decades. We remember the Tuskegee people, the black people, the syphilitic experiments in which those black people were harmed. They were never told the truth. They were never given any remedy. All of this has been going on for quite a while, and it's interesting because we now see the elite featuring black people as if they really do want to honor them, the Black Lives Matter, all of this. Even many of the magazines now are really featuring black people's achievements, black women. But underneath, this is phony because they still are trying to kill them. And I think that it's important. We do not always, give our stamp of approval to everyone all the time. You've heard us admire Alex Jones for going down to the border and exposing that sex trafficking odyssey that was leaving there from Donna, Texas, and then going to Catholic Charities, all those children being loaded up for the elite for the extraction of the adrenochrome from their blood and possibly child sacrifice, all of that. So we don't admire David Icke coming on to Alex Jones and spreading disinfo that there is no such thing as a virus, period. So we have to take every reporter, every news source, with a grain of salt. Lou and I have always said that we are not fanatics, and we like to take a balanced approach to things so that when we say some of the situation updates of Mike Adams, the health ranger at naturalnews.com, we do not fully agree with, we do not fully approve of. But in the main, sometimes there is nobody who is getting it as right as Mike. And yesterday was one of those times. It fits in right with what Lou and I are talking about, the plan to have this spike protein go out and be shed, and the great emphasis to make sure that these COVID vaccines are going in to the black neighborhoods. We were sorry to see our representative Harris, Andy Harris, after he had given some cautions that young women shouldn't get the vaccines, he was shown in various parts of Maryland administering the shots, and one was to a young black person. So let's tell the listeners how they could hear that important situation update of Mike Adams at naturalnews.com for May 5th.
Yes, that's right. All you have to do is go to naturalnews.com. You'll see that if you do it very soon, you'll see it at the top of his list of brand new things. on his website, or you can also just do a search. He has a very fine search engine that works very well. Just type in the word, situation update, and then the day. Was it May 5th, okay, yes.
Yesterday,
oh,
May 5th.
Yesterday was May 5th. Yes, that's right.
Yes.
That's right. I get
We're
my
coming
dates
to you
all
on May 6th.
Right.
So you really do not want to miss that because we, again, Lou and I are not fanatics. We don't know. No one can fully predict if this is a euthanasia kind of a genocide worldwide, just as Dr. Lee Merritt said that we're going to have to face this 800-pound gorilla in the room after she went through all the medical contradictions to all of this. She said, are they trying to kill us? And if that's the case, to get rid of millions of people, the Deagle Report has said that there will come a time, maybe in about 10 years, I think there will be only something like 65 million Americans left. Now, if this is a killing weapon, we will see. I said to Lou, I hope and pray that everybody who thinks it's a killing weapon is wrong. I hope that God, in his mercy, will spare this population of people, many of whom are innocently led by evil, evil brainwashing. So go ahead, Lou. I had to interrupt because this is all so pertinent. We are living in Nazi Germany, but something even worse than that, I think, now, because we're still a Christian nation. We haven't had them come and completely raid all of the churches. They didn't need to, because most of these pastors are saying, it's all right to take that vaccine. You'd better take it. One of them, my daughter has lupus and Lyme disease, so I think Johnson & Johnson would be safer. He doesn't even think about, maybe he doesn't even know that there are aborted fetal cell lines in these damnable, damned by God vaccines. So actually, there are very few standing up. We think Dr. James Dobson has stood up against them, but many of the other Roman Catholic and Protestant clerics have not. They have said, go ahead and take it. How can God ever bless this country? God can still bless individuals who really keep their lives straight with him and with his scripture and who repent when they fail. God can protect people supernaturally. We know of a family that really should have gotten COVID-19, a grandmother and a grandfather who have raised their grandson as their own child. He got ill with COVID. He's in his 20s, early 20s, lived right in their home, walked up and down their stairs to get food. We prayed and prayed. They did not get it. The mother, the grandmother told me she has no antibodies toward COVID. Lou, let's get right back to this.
Yeah, so we were discussing this idea that because it was for the common good, the lead paint experiment was done on these poor families. But I want you to, and I want you to, you're
black.
The, those are
mostly
listening.
Black families, let's face
yes.
it.
Yes, yes, it was in Baltimore, no doubt it was. And keep in mind what I'm about to read, because it will tie in very closely with what's happening now. The court stated in their decision, we have long stressed that the best interest of the child is the overriding concern of this court and matters relating to children. And I should mention again, this was in 2001 in Maryland. Whatever the interests of a parent and whatever the interests of the general public in fostering research that might, according to a researcher's hypothesis, be for the good of all children, this court's concern for the particular child and particular case overarches all other interests. It is simply, and we hope succinctly put, not in the best interest of any healthy child to be intentionally put in a non-therapeutic situation where his or her health may be impaired in order to test methods that may ultimately benefit all children. And that ends that quote.
Yes, and that's even soft-pedaled.
Yes.
In other words, it isn't a good idea to try to murder people.
And the book goes on to say, this is the author of the book speaking, the panel of judges likened this unconscionable lead abatement experiment to Nazi medical atrocities, admonishing the researchers for conducting the experiment and rebuking Johns Hopkins Review Board for approving an experiment in which children served as mere measuring tools or canaries in the mines.
I'll have to take back what I said. That's good. That's good that they went farther.
Yes, it is. Now compare that as we move the clock up to April 30th, 2021. The article says, 2-year-old baby dies during Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine experiments on children, by Ethan Huff. Within 6 days of receiving a second injection of Pfizer's experimental Wuhan coronavirus vaccine, a 2-year-old baby enrolled in the company's clinical trials for children passed away, new reports indicate. The ongoing trials include more than 10,000 children, ranging in age from 5 to 11 in one of the groups, and another 10,000 children as young as 6 months old in the other. These trials have been taking place since mid-March, with a soon expectation that the jab will be, quote-unquote, authorized for use in children and babies.
That's astounding. The 10,000 parents would do such a horrible, horrific thing.
It is. It really is. Moderna is also running a similar series of clinical trials on children that it is calling Kid Cove, the word kid and then C-O-V-E.
I thought a cove was supposed to be a place that sheltered boats.
I thought so, too.
And not these boats.
An odd choice.
Not these small boats.
Yep.
It's almost coven, too, like witchcraft.
Good observation.
Just stick an N on it.
Yes. Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca are also both running their own respective clinical trials on children to get them jabbed at, quote-unquote, warp speed. As reported in the government's Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, the 2-year-old girl received her second dose of Pfizer's DNA-modifying RNA injection on February 25th. On March 1st, she suffered some kind of serious adverse reaction. On March 3rd, she died. No further details were provided. The VAERS report does indicate that the child had been hospitalized since February 14th, which suggests she may have gotten sick from the first shot. Despite this, someone administered a second shot to the already sick and suffering child, which caused her to die.
The headline that's in the middle of this article, Lou, that you and I are giving the listeners, this headline says, parents who inject their children with vaccine poisons should be ashamed of themselves. That's Ethan Huff's headline, but this is not nearly strong enough. It should be, parents who inject their young children with vaccine poisons should face child abuse criminal charges, child abuse, and if a 2-year-old dies in trials, charges are no longer child abuse, but indictment should be there for murder. Early in the week, it was also reported that Pfizer's experimental gene therapy injection can cause brain damage and neurodegenerative disease. A paper published in the journal Microbiology and Infectious Diseases explains the process by which these injections alter human DNA and cause the body to basically go haywire over time. Despite all this, hordes of not-so-bright Americans are lining right up to get injected, believing that the vaccine will protect them against catching the Wuhan flu. They are also subjecting their children to it, based on lies from Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Donald Trump, and others who are aggressively pushing the jabs. Mitchell Lynam, an anesthesiologist who calls herself Dr. United States of America, has been bragging, and that name might be Michelle. Here it's spelled capital M-I-C-H-E-L-L, Michelle Lynam, has been bragging all over Facebook about how she subjected her own children to the experimental shots. She enrolled her 2 teenage daughters in Pfizer's clinical trial and her 6-year-old daughter in Moderna's clinical trial. Should anything happen to these poor kids, Lynam probably will not tell her Facebook followers about it. Lynam will probably also not report any potential injuries or deaths to VAERS. The only reason the death of the 2-year-old in the Pfizer trial is known about is because independent sleuths dug it out of VAERS. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, is certainly not going to report on it, and neither will the mainstream media. Tell others to visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Sometimes we're interfered with. Sometimes we're interfered with on the shortwave with missing parts at the beginning of the program. Maybe you won't hear Beethoven's striking opening of the Eroica Symphony, Symphony No. 3. But you'll hear most of the important data because God is on our side. That's why, isn't it, Lou?
That's just right.
God hates this. This is an abomination. America is falling, and it's not falling to people coming in yet. It's falling to the evil consciences of the people, the pastors, the people who would let their children get into this. Now, the article continues, the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, is also complicit, having recently lifted its recommended pause on Johnson & Johnson's experimental injection, which causes deadly blood clots. Rather than ban the jab, the FDA is instead affixing a tiny warning label on the package that says the J&J injection comes with blood clot risks. I read this and wept, wrote one commenter at Great Game India. Children that age should never be given any vaccines. Shame on the parents who allowed such a thing to happen. Now they are paying with broken hearts. How sad is that? These vaccines contain aluminum, mercury, and formaldehyde. Why on earth would anyone allow themselves to be injected with these poisons? Others offered similar sentiments of sadness and disgust that this mass genocide of humans under the guise of public health is even happening at all. Lou, tell the listeners again to check out Mike Adams, the health ranger, at naturalnews.com, his situation update for yesterday, May 5th. Tell them again how to go there.
Simply
do they have to go to Brighteon?
Well, that's one way to do it. You can either go to naturalnews.com, and from there, it will automatically, if you click on the situation update, it will go to Brighteon. Or you can go directly to Brighteon, Brighteon.com. And I believe that you'll see that right at the top of the list, the latest situation updates for the last few days. All right, now the next article. If there was ever anything I think that ties in with Nazi Germany and the things we read about earlier this evening, it's this. The title says, Genocide, People with Learning Disabilities Are Not Resuscitated in England if they have symptoms of COVID-19.
Now, we can see this is the global elite plan. This is not specific to America.
That's right. This was dated February 19th, 2021, by Lance Johnson. Public Health England warns that young people with learning disabilities, ages 18 to 34, are dying from COVID-19 at 30 times the rate of their peers. This group of people do not unilaterally suffer from the same underlying health conditions and immune deficiencies, so what could be going wrong? In the view of medical authorities at the National Health Services, NHS, people with learning disabilities and other cognitive deficits are now considered less desirable. The phrase, I think, back in the 1930s was life unworthy of life. That certainly fits here to what they're trying to say. In an emergency situation, their life is not nearly as valuable. Out of fear of spreading infections, medical authorities have decided that people with disabilities are not worth saving if they present clinical symptoms of COVID-19. In other words, their life is expendable for the, quote, greater good, unquote. According to medical authorities, the risk of spreading COVID-19 from mouth-to-mouth resuscitation is too great for healthcare workers in the general community, so they've decided not to take as many chances on people who are medically fragile.
And we have to interject again this attitude that we play God with people who might have some special needs. We know a person who probably now is about 70 who has some of those special needs, but that person was far wiser and better and more human, had more humanity than most of the politicians and judges and people of great power at the time of Terry Schindler Schiavo's death, that horrible death in which she had no water, no food. It was just a horrible thing. And this person, whom we know, who has some special needs, said, why couldn't they have put some drops of water on her face and in her mouth? And you see there, we saw the depth, the profundity of intellect in a person who is said to have some special needs. God alone understands who he made in the womb. He made us. He says that I made you. He knows. And anyone who's willing to go against the beings created in his image will pay. Without repentance, they will be burning in hell. And I would think in the worst parts of hell, if there are gradations, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Lou.
It continues by saying the Care Quality Commission, CQC, the independent regulator of health and social care services in England, began to sound the alarm on this genocidal behavior in December of 2020. The CQC found that health authorities were inappropriately using, and this is a little phrase that appears several times here, do not attempt cardiopulmonary resuscitation notices, or DNA CPR. Don't attempt those on people with learning disabilities, leading to widespread medical malpractice and wrongful death. These DNA CPR notices are only reserved for extreme circumstances, like when a person is too frail to benefit from CPR.
And Lou, we have to interject again.
Yes.
You and I spent several decades of our lives tutoring children who were mostly dyslexic and some of them who were ADD. And we think that may be just a lesser injury on the autism spectrum, so that these children were damaged. But in the main, most of these children were very intelligent. Isn't that right?
That's exactly right.
And you and I
yes.
know. I was a member of Mensa. I kind of got myself engineered to get into it with my high verbal skills, but it's for high IQ people, the top 2%, I think, in the country. And you could have easily gone in there. You had great intelligence. But the thing about it is we have lived a long time now, and we have broadened our viewpoint. It's sad that some of those so-called elitists are so limited, so stunted, that they can't see the full range of humanity, the beauty in it, and that things are not all just you label a certain group this way and you label a certain group that way. No, we might have killed an Einstein several times saying he had a learning disability, because remember, Einstein, I think he couldn't, which was it? He couldn't do math as a young child. Isn't that right?
Yes, I think he was late in talking, too. And he was working, when he did his finest work, he was working just as a clerk. He wasn't in a university.
And there was some kind of a learning disability. And the same, I think, with Alexander Graham Bell. We'd have to look into this, but I think there was something about him, too, with a learning disability. See, there may be genius material in some of these poor children that they're doing in there in England. Go ahead.
It goes on to say, DNA CPR, and you remember that's do not attempt cardiopulmonary resuscitation. So DNA CPR notices are now being used to avoid contact with sick people, especially sick people with learning disabilities, such as Down syndrome, etc. People with learning disabilities are being discriminated against at the most crucial point in their lives. This is why COVID-19 now accounts for approximately 65% of deaths in people with learning disabilities in England. Medical authorities are leaving many of these people to die, afraid of contracting an infection or contributing to, quote, community spread, unquote. The Royal Mencap Society is a charity based in the United Kingdom that works with people with learning disabilities. Adele Harris, Mencap's chief executive, said, quote, throughout the pandemic, many people with a learning disability have faced shocking discrimination and obstacles to assessing health care, with inappropriate do not attempt cardiopulmonary resuscitation notices put in their files and cuts made to their social care support. It is unacceptable that within a group of people hit so hard by the pandemic and who even before COVID died on average over 20 years younger than the general population, many are now left feeling scared and wondering why they have been left out, unquote. Strangely enough, people with learning disabilities are now being prioritized as guinea pigs for the experimental mRNA vaccines. Health authorities have repeatedly failed to respond to the health needs of these precious people in critical life and death situations. Now they are pretending to care about these special needs patients by rushing them into high-risk vaccine experiments that have been rushed into existence under the same pretense of slowing the spread and, quote, supporting the greater good, unquote. This wide-scale medical malpractice, discrimination, and abuse is similar to the destructive practice of rushing patients onto ventilators. The ventilators are used, quote, out of an abundance of caution, unquote, to contain the patient's airway expulsions. The ventilators ensure a closed-loop system to prevent any spread of virus material. In the spirit of slowing the spread, patients are forced into a risky intervention that has only pushed the mortality rate up.
Thank God your cousin, a woman cousin in her 70s, refused the ventilator. She said, no, give me oxygen.
That's
so she's
right.
Alive. Go ahead.
This practice does not offer the patient an antiviral treatment, immune support, or immune therapy, and fails to recover people in time. This is why ventilator-associated infections, lung damage, and ailing immune systems give way to further complication and death after hasty ventilation procedures. Mass genocide like this has taken place in many different forms throughout medical systems around the world.
Yes, Lou, and as we look at this tyranny, the tyranny that's associated with these practices, we look at Time magazine for May 10th to 17th, and there were some reports there, little capsule reports, that show how the COVID corporate fascist government alliance with death and injury is at work. So here's the first one. Walmart, keeping America fed, clothed, and vaccinated. Walmart, once reviled as a destroyer of small-town Main Streets, played a critical role in keeping the nation fed and clothed during the pandemic, all while generating nearly $560 billion in revenue last year. It did that, like many retailers, by greatly accelerating its push into e-commerce, with digital sales jumping 69% in the last 3 months of 2020. Now, it's thousands of stores, many in rural, underserved. Do we note that every time you heard that in Lou's reports earlier? That's a code word, I think, for undeserved death to the minority populations. Every time they tell us underserved areas, that's an Orwellian term, are vaccinating customers. It's also taking steps to repair its image as an exploiter of low-wage workers. In February, it announced a broad wage hike. That's one. That's Walmart. Now we've got vaccinating the vulnerable. At the end of last year, 35,000 long-term care facilities in the U.S. asked Walgreens for help vaccinating their uniquely vulnerable residents against COVID-19. That task turned out to be just the beginning for the pharmacy chain, which, as of April 16th, had administered more than 11.6 million vaccine doses in total, albeit not without some scheduling hiccups. It also partnered with PayPal and Uber to offer funding for free rides to vaccination sites. In March, Walgreens reached a milestone of a different sort when Rosalind Ross Brewer Wright, they show a picture, assumed the company's top job and became the only black woman to currently lead a Fortune 500 company. Are the elite smirking? Are the elite smirking? These poor, unsuspecting puppets who think they have broken through the glass ceiling and they're going to be emulated as women for all time when they are black women. They don't know about the Tuskegee experiments, probably. Now here we have CVS administering vaccines. Pre-pandemic, stopping into CVS was often just another errand on a to-do list. But these days, that trip could be the most anticipated event of the year. The pharmacy chain, led by CEO Karen Lynch, below, and the accompanying picture of CEO Lynch shows her beaming with hubris. Again, she's broken through the glass ceiling, Lou. Oh,
yes.
Gosh. I'm so glad I'm just humble little Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly sitting out here in the country with no great degrees behind my name, no big experiences teaching at Yale or Harvard or anywhere else. Life put me here. God let some illness come to me. Thank God I didn't go up the ladder into some of this evil kind of condescension toward people, toward humanity, toward God's beloved children. Well, anyway, this pharmacy chain, they say, has become one of the top U.S. COVID-19 vaccine administrators, with more than 10 million doses given as of April 1st, topping the total number of vaccines given by all but four states. Gosh, so CVS, you see, gave more vaccines than all but four states as of April 19th. Shots are available in nearly 2,000 CVS locations across the country, and the pharmacy has also brought vaccines into long-term care facilities nationwide. And so we move on. You see, this is a kind of a tyranny. It's taking over. It's acclimating us. Lou, you saw a local theater that was restored years ago. I think it was from the 1920s in Easton, Maryland. And what did the big marquee say?
I believe that it said Community Vaccine Something Day, something like that. I can't come up with the exact words.
So you see, they're bringing it in everywhere
yeah.
they can. We're going to have to shorten things now. As an example of that tyranny, also from the Western Journal, April 22nd, we had the headline, Nation's Largest University System to Mandate COVID-19 Vaccinations. And these were the 10-campus University of California and the 23-campus California State University. And taking these two together, it's more than a million. It's CSU's four-year college system is the nation's biggest, with about 485,000 students and tens of thousands of staff, while the University of California is comprised of 280,000 students. So you see, it is more than a million people, students and employees. Stanford University also announced a mandate on Thursday for all of its 19,000 students to be vaccinated when classes start in the fall. Students at the private school who have an approved vaccination exemption for medical or religious reasons will be required to undergo regular COVID-19 testing. The two public university systems will allow for similar exemptions. We move right on to the headline of Governor Witch Whitmer. I guess we would call her the Vaccine Iron Lady, Witch Ella Wonder. She declares the entire state of Michigan to be a vaccine prison camp. Obey or stay locked down forever. And this came from Natural News, and we'll shorten it here a little bit. But again, the commenter, Mike Adams, says this is, again, similar to the Third Reich and the Holocaust and a vaccine prison camp. Now, these are milestones. It's a kind of a criminal coercion that the people will only have freedom, that the gunpoint enforced lockdowns will not end until up to 70% of the state's adults surrender to being injected with this, what Adams calls a deadly depopulation bioweapon called a COVID vaccine. And so the milestone reported by Breitbart when they get their freedom back is when 55% of Michiganders vaccinated. In-person work will be allowed for all sectors of business. That's when they are vaccinated. When 60% of Michiganders are vaccinated, then we'll have indoor capacity at sports stadiums, conference centers, banquet halls, funeral homes will increase to 25% capacity at exercise facilities, and gyms will increase to 50%, and a curfew in restaurants and bars will be lifted. And then what else, Lou?
When 70% of Michiganders get vaccinated, gathering and face mask orders will be lifted, and the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services will no longer employ broad mitigation measures unless unanticipated circumstances arise, such as the spread of vaccine-resistant variants. Under this tyrannical, illegal rule, the only way the people of Michigan can see their freedoms restored is to agree to be injected with a dangerous, experimental, gene-altering medical intervention that's already killing people by the thousands all across the world.
And now we'll move right on to your next article.
Here we have cell lines used for COVID vaccines came from abortions, not miscarriages. No competent biologist would try to establish living cell line from dead tissue. This was from WorldNet Daily News Services, May 1st, 2021. In an article published last year, MIT-trained scientist Father Nicanor Ostriasko passed along speculation that the HEK293 cell line may have been developed using tissue from a miscarriage. This cell line is in the news because it has played a role in the development and or testing of the three vaccines currently authorized for emergency use for COVID-19. The point of Father Ostriaco's conjecture was to reduce worry that this cell line started with an abortion, but worry we should. This conjecture seems to have become a full-fledged rumor. In recent months, many Catholics and other Christians have cited that rumor when defending these vaccines. But the rumor, to put it bluntly, is nonsense.
And pick up your next one, too, Lou.
Yes. And here we have bombshell. Pfizer's own documents admit COVID vaccines will shed infectious particles to others. Monday, May 3rd, 2021, Ethan Hoff, Natural News. The latest, quote, conspiracy theorist, unquote, to come forward and warn about particulate shedding from those who were recently vaccinated for the Wuhan coronavirus is none other than Pfizer itself. The pharma giant's own documents openly admit that people who were recently jabbed for the Chinese virus can transmit whatever is contained in the syringe to others, including through skin contact. The Pfizer document warns, quote, an occupational exposure occurs when a person receives unplanned direct contact with the vaccine test subject, which may or may not lead to the occurrence of an adverse event. These people may include healthcare providers, family members, and other people who are around the trial participant. Unquote. In other words, there is something contained in the injections that caused the injected to become super spreaders.
And what date was that article, Lou?
This was dated May 3rd, 2021.
And this was Pfizer itself telling this, wasn't it?
Yes, those were quotes from Pfizer.
And I'm going to interrupt to say that same date at Natural News, Mike Adams had this headline, Extermination Machine Unmasked. Why vaccinated people are making healthy people sick. Pfizer document admits vaccinated people shed infectious particles. The spike protein is the bioweapon. And Adams says people who are injected with the mRNA vaccine are having their bodies turned into bioweapons factories, churning out spike protein particles, which they shed through their mouths and skin and semen, by the way, infecting everyone around them. The spike protein is biologically active and causes blood clots, leading to strokes, heart attacks, pulmonary embolism, and infertility effects. Pfizer's own documents reveal this phenomenon to be well known by vaccine developers. What is now becoming obvious is that today's vaccines were deliberately designed to function as self-replicating vaccines to spread the spike protein bioweapons to those who refuse to be vaccinated. As the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists wrote last year, scientists are working on vaccines that spread like a disease. What could possibly go wrong? This explains all the bizarre blood clotting effects now being experienced in unvaccinated people who are in close proximity to vaccinated people. We will be reporting much more on this in the days ahead. Globalists have unleashed the final solution, self-replicating vaccine, and intend to end humanity once and for all. Due to the transmissible nature of this spike protein and the hijacking of the body's protein synthesis with mRNA vaccines, globalists probably only need about 50% of any given population to be vaccinated, and they have already achieved that goal in most nations. They don't even need the other half of the population to consent, because those people will be vaccinated with the transmission of the spike protein itself. This means nearly everyone will be infected with the spike protein, making nearly everyone susceptible to the possibility of a hyperinflammatory reaction when exposed to wild-type coronavirus strains that will be released later this year. It's a binary weapon system. Get it? In other words, there are two. The first was the COVID itself. Then, you see, when you get the vaccine, it uses these spike proteins to possibly hype up your immune system too far. The next time another variant or another coronavirus comes to your body, then you'll have the cytokine storms, you'll have terrible pneumonia. We don't know what all. And then he discusses a video from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. And this was very important. A listener wrote to us that we should see this, and we finally did. It was a small interview with Alex Jones and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She was explaining how this spike protein is being transmitted by the vaccinated. And she's careful to note, says Mike Adams, this isn't the shedding of virus particles, but rather the transmission of spike protein particles based on the adenovirus that's used to manufacture the vaccine. And so the vaccine is the pandemic, says Mike Adams. The spike protein is the bioweapon, and any person receiving the mRNA shot is having their own body transformed into a bioweapons factory that's being exploited to infect others. If anyone should be masked right now, it's the people who were vaccinated. They are the super spreaders. They are the walking biobombs. And then we have a little follow-up article. You see, very reputable people who were suppressed at the beginning about hydroxychloroquine, America's frontline doctors, they are saying, this is May the 3rd, from LifeSite News by Patrick Delaney, COVID-vaccinated can shed spike protein harming unvaccinated. This came from Los Angeles, California. In their latest brief, America's frontline doctors warned how spike proteins resulting from experimental COVID-19 gene therapy vaccines have the capacity to, one, pass through the blood-brain barrier, causing neurological damage, two, be shed by the vaccinated, bringing about sickness in unvaccinated children and adults, and three, cause irregular vaginal bleeding in women. So their document that was released last week called Identifying Post-Vaccination Complications and Their Causes, an analysis of COVID-19 patient data, talks about these things. This nonprofit organization highlighted the thousands of adverse events which are related to these vaccines and captured by the CDC Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS. Yet these complications have received a fraction of the attention paid to J&J's blood clotting controversy, they lamented with dismay, asking why. So these are issues that are now coming into being. We would give you a little bit more about this. We're going to run out of time. We want to applaud Governor Ron DeSantis, who's opposing the vaccine passports in Florida. And there must be more governors, we hope, who will be like he is. I just want to make very clear, in Florida, we are not doing any vaccine passports. He said during his news conference, and this was way back March 25th, I think it's a bad idea, and so that will not happen. And so folks should get vaccinated if they want to. We obviously can provide that, but under no circumstances will the state be asking you to show proof of vaccination. And we heard that Governor Larry Hogan, thank God, in Maryland, will not be demanding that either. Back in September, when the governors were extending and even adding to their state's coronavirus crackdowns, DeSantis was terminating restrictions. You see, and giving a platform to scientists opposed to the multitude of draconian government actions taken in the name of countering coronavirus. Yes, the iron hand is trying to strike all of us, the tyranny, the vaccine tyranny, and some other tyranny, too. We thank you for listening to us, and we hope that you will help us stay on the air because our voice is there to try to save your life, not only physically, but to have you repent and turn to Jesus Christ and be saved in heaven forever. So you can write to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. You can send a money order. You can send cash. You can even send postage stamps. We thank you very, very much for your love and prayers and those of you who have lately helped us. Good night.